All right, buckle up for a deep dive into a story that's got it all. Locked room mystery, psychological thriller, and more than a few unsettling moments. We're headed to a remote Irish island. Picture this, destination wedding. But it goes very, very wrong.
It's like, you know, Agatha Christie meets and then there were none. But with like a modern twist, you know, modern anxieties and a whole lot of secrets.
Yeah, the book is The Guest List. And the author, she jumps between different points of view, you know, the characters and between the wedding night itself and then all the events that lead up to it. And it's like every time you switch, you get another piece of the puzzle.
Exactly. Like you think you're getting a grasp on things and then boom, another perspective.
Exactly.
You're like, wait, what?
So, okay, first things first, let's talk about this setting. Cormorant Island. Remote, Irish, steeped in like dark folklore. Adds a whole other layer to the story, don't you think?
Oh, for sure. The isolation, the folklore, it all just ramps up the tension. It's almost like the island itself is another character. You know what I mean? Like pressing in on everybody.
Yeah. It's got this like presence, you know.
Totally.
And then you've got the wedding venue, this renovated 15th century castle called the Folly, perched on the edge of cliffs, overlooking the Atlantic.
So dramatic. You can practically feel the wildness, the wind, the waves.
It's both like luxurious, right, because it's a wedding venue, but then also kind of eerie at the same time. Like it was built as a coastal defense, you know, centuries ago.
Yeah, yeah. So there's that underlying sense of danger, even amidst all the, you know, fancy champagne and celebrations, like a beautiful facade masking something darker. And that's kind of mirrored in the characters too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Okay, so let's talk characters. First up, Jules the bride.
Yeah.
Ambitious, stylish, seems like she's got it all right.
Totally. Picture perfect life. But you start to get the feeling that maybe, just maybe, she's hiding something. Like things might not be as perfect as they seem.
Right. And then there's Will, the groom, the TV survivalist. So he's got that whole rugged, charming thing going
on. Oh, yeah. He's got that charisma for sure. But there are these hints about his past, right? Like something happened at this prestigious boarding school he went to, and a student died under mysterious circumstances. Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Like, how much do we really know about Will? What's he hiding?
Exactly.
Okay, and then there's this note, a mysterious note warning Jules about Will. Like, straight up telling her not to marry him. I mean, that's got to set the stage for a weekend of suspicion and tension, right?
Oh, for sure. It's like, instantly you're like, who sent it? What do they know? The mystery starts right there.
And the other guests, they're not exactly innocent bystanders either, right?
Yeah.
Each one has their own secrets, their own baggage, and their own complicated relationships with the happy couple.
Yeah, it's like this tangled web of connections and hidden motives. You start to realize that everyone's got something to hide.
Like Jono, the best man. He's Will's old friend. But there's this, like, resentment there. You can tell there's a backstory, and it's not a pretty one.
Oh, yeah. Jono's got that whole brooding, troubled vibe going on. And as the story unfolds, you get these glimpses into their past, these hazing rituals at that boarding school, which were, let's just say, brutal.
Yeah, and you start to wonder, could these rituals have something to do with the student's death? Are we going to find out what really happened all those years ago?
Right. The past is definitely not staying buried.
Okay. And then there's Hannah. She's a plus one. There with her husband, Charlie, who's one of the ushers. And she's kind of an outsider to this whole world of wealth and privilege, you know. And she starts picking up on things, seeing things that make her super uncomfortable.
Yeah. She's kind of like our eyes and ears into this whole crazy situation. She's observing everything from the outside, and she starts to realize that something is definitely off. Like, she sees something during Will's stag do that's just really unsettling.
Yeah, and then there's Olivia, Jules' half-sister. She's got this quiet intensity about her, you know, and you just know there's more to her story than meets the eye.
Oh, yeah. Olivia's a fascinating character. There's definitely some unspoken history between her and Will, some tension that you can just feel.
Right. Like, what happened between them? What secrets are they keeping?
Exactly. And then you've got Eoif, the wedding planner. Mm-hmm. Super composed, super efficient. Like, she's got everything under control. But she's also connected to the island and its folklore in a way that makes you wonder, what does she know?
Yeah, she's almost like a gatekeeper to the island's secrets. And those secrets, they're pretty creepy.
Yeah, the local legends, the Viking raids, the ghosts, the recurring symbol of the cormorant, which is this bird associated with bad luck, even evil. It's like the author is weaving this tapestry of like foreboding.
It's like the island itself is a character, you know? It's got this dark energy, this sense of dread that just hangs over everything. And then there's that whole thing with the seaweed in Jules and Will's bed.
Oh, yeah. That was creepy. Like a little reminder of those hazing rituals from Will's school days. The past is definitely not staying in the past on this island.
Not at all. It's like the island itself is bringing all these secrets to the surface. And the wedding night, that's just the beginning. As the night goes on, the tension just keeps ratcheting up, you know? Like, you know something bad is going to happen, but you don't know what or when or who's going to be involved.
That's a total page turner. You can't put it down. You just want to know who's going to snap first and what secrets are going to come out.
And that's what we'll be diving into next time.
I can't wait.
But before we get to all that, I think it's worth talking a bit more about the whole idea of isolation. Because it's not just the setting here, right? It's almost like a force that shapes the characters and their actions.
Oh, definitely. Like, think about it. You've got all these people trapped on this island with their secrets and their lies. There's no escape.
Right. The island is like a pressure cooker, and things are about to boil over.
Exactly. And that's what makes this story so compelling. You can't help but wonder, how far will these people go to protect themselves? And who will survive the night?
So many questions. But we'll have to save those for next time. Until then, happy reading. Okay, so we left off with this whole idea of the island as like a pressure cooker. And things are definitely starting to heat up, right?
Oh, yeah. Secrets are bubbling to the surface. Relationships are strained. The whole wedding is teetering on the edge of disaster.
Right. And one of the biggest bombshells, we find out that Jules, the perfect bride, her whole perfect wedding, it's all financed by a loan. A loan her own father secured. Can you believe that?
It's a blow to her pride, for sure. Yeah. Especially because she's built this whole image around being successful, independent.
Totally. Like, her world is falling apart and she's trying to hold it all together.
Yeah. And her reaction is pretty explosive. Like, she's smashing things, lashing out at anyone who gets in her way. It's like the pressure is getting to her.
Yeah, it's like all that carefully crafted control, it's just slipping away.
And then there's Olivia. We learn that she and Will, they had a romantic relationship in the past, like before he met Jules.
Talk about complicated.
Seriously. And it explains so much about their dynamic, like the way they look at each other, the tension that's always there.
Yeah, it's like they're both walking on eggshells, afraid of what might happen if their past comes out. And during the reception, Olivia ends up wandering off near the cliffs. It's a storm. She's distraught. It's pretty intense.
Oh, yeah. That whole scene is just, like, heavy with unspoken words and, like, you know, shared secrets.
But totally. It's like they're both holding back, but you can feel the history between them.
And then, of course, you've got Jono. He's on a mission, right? He wants to expose Will no matter the cost.
It's like he's so consumed by this resentment, this anger, he's got to let it out. Yeah. And he chooses the worst possible moment, his best man speech.
Yeah.
He brings up this humiliating incident from their past, and he just keeps hinting at something darker, something they did at school, some secret they've been keeping all these years.
Yeah. And the atmosphere at the wedding just becomes electric. Like, everyone's on edge, waiting for the other shoe to drop.
And then, boom, the power goes out. Again.
But this time, it's not an accident.
Oh, no.
Somebody sabotaged the generator, plunges the whole castle into darkness.
Talk about a mood shift.
It's like the perfect setup for a thriller, right? Like, the darkness, it just creates this sense of vulnerability, this fear, and it's like anything could happen.
Right. It's like now the secrets can really come out and, you know, the confrontations, they're going to be even more intense. And amidst all this chaos, you know, we see these little moments where the guests' true natures are, like, revealed. Like, Hannah, she's feeling lost, disconnected from her husband, and she finds herself drawn to this other guest, Lewis.
Yeah, he's charming, he's attentive. It's like a moment of weakness for Hannah, like a way to escape from all the pressure and the craziness.
Right, but it also makes you question, like, what does this mean for her marriage? What choices is she going to make? Yeah. And just when you think things can't get any weirder or any more intense, there's another scream.
Yeah, and this time, the stakes are even higher. Like, the author has really dialed up the suspense. You just know that something terrible has happened.
And that's where the story takes a turn, a really dark turn. It's like the island itself is closing in, trapping them in their secrets.
It's like the island is feeding off of their drama, their fear, and you can't help but wonder, how far will it go?
So many good questions. And to think, this is only part two of our deep dive.
I know, right? There's so much more to unpack, so many twists and turns still to come.
And we will next time. But until then, keep those pages turning. All right, so last we left off, things were pretty crazy at this wedding. We've got Jono standing over a body, a bloody knife in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a cliffhanger.
Yeah, it's a classic whodunit setup. And you're just left wondering, like, okay, who died? What happened? Is Jono really the killer? All those questions.
Yeah. So I got to know, who's the victim? Spill the tea.
It's not Will. And it's not one of the main wedding guests we've been talking about, you know, like the bridesmaids or the ushers. It's actually Freddie, Eoife's husband, the wedding planner.
Whoa. Okay. I did not see that coming. What? Like Freddie. But then thinking about it, it kind of makes sense. It's like the author's throwing us a curveball, you know, making us question everything.
Totally. And this is where Eorf's connection to the island and all that history, it really comes into play. Remember all that talk about Viking raids and ghosts and stuff?
Yeah, it was kind of creepy.
Well, it turns out Eorf, she believes Will is a descendant of those Viking raiders, like the very people who terrorized her ancestors.
Wait, hold up. Is she serious? Like, does she really believe that? Yeah. Or is this like the pressure getting to her, you know, making her see things that aren't there?
It's a little bit ambiguous, honestly. Like, the author does a great job of showing how Eoife's, you know, obsessed with the past. Like, this idea of historical revenge, it's totally warped her perception of reality.
So she sees Will as this, like, symbol of everything that's wrong, right? Like, all the wrongs that have been done to her family, and she's got to make him pay. Even if it means, like, orchestrating a murder.
Yeah, it's like this deep-seated need for justice, but it's twisted, you know? It's taken a dark turn. And it's not just about punishing Will, right? It's about, like, reclaiming her family's honor. Like, setting things right, even if it takes centuries.
Wow, that's intense. Okay, so was Jono in on this plan, or was he acting alone?
That's the big question, right? Because on the surface, it seems like Jono is driven by his own anger, you know, his resentment towards Will. But as you dig deeper, you start to see how Eoife, she's been manipulating him, like subtly pushing him toward this confrontation.
Oh, wow. That's cold. Like she's playing everyone like a chess game.
Exactly. And that's what makes Eoife such a fascinating character, you know? She's not just a villain. She's driven by this, like, this really powerful but ultimately misguided sense of justice.
Right. It's tragic in a way. Like both she and Jono, they're both victims of the past, right? Each trying to get revenge for the wrongs that were done to them.
Yeah.
But it's like that saying, you know, before you embark on a journey of revenge, dig two graves.
Exactly. Revenge, it never really works out the way you think it will. There's always collateral damage. And often the people we hurt the most are the ones we care about the most.
So without giving away the ending, can you tell us, like, does anyone get a happy ending in this story?
Happy might not be the right word, but there is a sense of resolution, I think. Like, some of the characters, they do find a way to move forward, even if it's not the way they expected.
Okay, that's good to hear. Because I was starting to think this was one of those books where everyone ends up miserable.
No, no, no. It's not totally bleak. It's more like the author leaves us with this glimmer of hope. Like, even in the darkest of times, there's a chance for redemption and forgiveness.
That's a good message. So what about the island? Does it play a role in the resolution?
Oh, for sure. It's like the island itself becomes this catalyst for change. Like, it forces these characters to confront their pasts, you know, face their demons, and ultimately to let go of the things that are holding them back.
It's like a crucible, right? It strips everything away and forces you to face who you really are.
Exactly. And that's what makes this book so powerful, I think. It's not just a thriller. It's a story about human nature, like our capacity for both good and evil, and the way the past can shape us, even years later.
Yeah, it makes you think. So for our listeners who haven't read the guest list yet, what would you say to them?
I'd say if you love stories that keep you guessing with characters that are flawed and complex and relatable, definitely check this book out. You won't be disappointed. It's suspenseful, atmospheric, and it'll stick with you.
Perfect. A great recommendation. And to our listeners, if you're looking for your next book club pick or just a captivating read, The Guest List is a great choice. It might even make you rethink your next island vacation. Until next time, happy reading.